Would you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8? We want to turn our attention to this baptismal service. And let me put it very succinctly. The reason we're having a baptism service tonight is because some people's lives have been changed by the power of Christ. Can't put it any differently. How many believes the Lord still changes lives? Would you stand? I'm going to read one verse right now. We're going to pray. Then when they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, beyond what's happening in the narrative, I want you to see the description of this man. This man, out of whom the devils were departed, they're gone. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. The point is, that's not how he was just a little bit ago. This is completely different than what he had just been. Changed. I want to preach tonight on the change when Jesus comes. The change when Jesus comes. Heavenly Father, make this a special evening for all of us, but for the baptismal candidates. And Lord, we're truly grateful for the change you've made, not only in them, but in all of us. Lord, we're reminded of the scripture, and such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified by the Spirit of our God. Lord, anoint me to speak. May your presence be here in a marked way. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You know this, but one of the most often used advertisement formats is the before and after photos. How many have seen that over and over in advertisement? Before and after. It might be weight loss. It might be wrinkle remover. It might be vein shrinking. But it's before and after. I'm going to tell you, when you look in Scripture, you see the before and after photos. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a ton of them, but the Scripture said, you were darkness, but now are you light. You were the children of darkness, but now you're the children of light. You were without God in this world, but now you are one of his own. You were afar off, but now you have been brought nigh to the Son of God and through the Son of God. Amen. You don't have to go to the scripture. You can look around tonight and the contrast is evident between what people were and what they are now. And what was it that made the difference? Jesus. What we see tonight is the contrast in this man's life before Jesus came and after Jesus came. And the contrast is so marked and evident. It's not just marked and evident and extreme. It's awesome and it's wonderful to think of the change that was in this man's life simply because Jesus came into his life. Oh, hallelujah. You know those advertisement photos, when you see them, you get the feeling that they have been doctored to exaggerate any difference between the before and after. But when you read this story, there's been no exaggeration. There was no need to exaggerate anything because the change was real between Jesus coming. Hallelujah. Before and after. I'm not trying to embarrass her, but I've seen that so clearly. One of our candidates tonight, I said, Sister Bobby, I've seen a change on your countenance, and you really can. Jesus came. When Jesus came to where this man was, there was the difference, and it's still happening. When Jesus is allowed to come, there will be that difference. When Jesus stepped on his shore, things begin to change. I read the verse. Brother, if you could put the text back up there for a moment. I read the verse of what this man was after Jesus came into his life. He was sitting at the feet. The demons were departed. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's clothed. He's in his right mind. That's after. I didn't read to you what he was before, but I want to show you the before and after photos of this man's life. Can I do that? And they've not been exaggerated. Before Jesus came, devils were possessing him. But when Jesus came, the devils departed. He's holy. He's righteous. He's the Son of God. Hallelujah. A man full of demons. In Luke 8:30, Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Legion was a military term used for the Roman army. A legion was between 3,000 and 6,000 foot soldiers. Can you imagine this man possessed with a legion of demons? A modern version uses the terminology, he said, "My name is Mob." A mob of demons. And I want to tell you tonight, the mob will still ruin your life. You go with the mob, you follow the mob, it will ruin your life. He said, "My name is Legions." Demons were in control. But in our text, in Luke 8:35, it described this man after Jesus came as being the man of whom the devils were departed. I'm telling you, before Jesus came, demons were in control. But when Jesus came, the demons had to go. They departed. Hallelujah. It's still that way. When Jesus steps into your life, there'll be things that will begin to depart. And good riddance. I said, in good riddance. Things that had destroyed, things that had tormented, things that had ruined and wrecked. When Jesus comes, the demons will depart. And it's still that way. Look at the second picture. Before Jesus came, unclean spirits in the man's life. Luke 8:29. "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man." He describes this demonic spirit as unclean. And I know that's a scriptural designation of immorality and evil and darkness. But I got to thinking about this man. We're going to learn in a moment. He had been unclothed, roaming in the countryside, in the wilderness, for years, no doubt. I'm telling you, that man was filthy, dirty physically. But later we see him clothed, and he's in his right mind. Well, no one in their right mind puts clean clothes on a dirty body. I'm convinced, so it's implied and not stated in scripture. I'm convinced that one of the first things that this man did when Jesus delivered him was go wash his body the filth of the years of possession off of him. His physical body was washed, and that's important, and that's a great difference. But I believe that was only symbolic of the washing that Jesus did of his mind and his heart. I'm telling you, the most wonderful things about when Jesus comes is that which is unclean departs, and Jesus gives you a clean heart, a clean mind, a clean life. Hallelujah. How many's glad he can make you clean? I believe that's something that's calling out in the hearts of people that don't know him. They're tired of the uncleanness of their thought, the uncleanness of their heart. But I want to tell you, let Jesus come to your shore. Let Jesus step in your life. The unclean will depart. He'll purify your life. Before and after. Before Jesus came, he was naked. Luke 8:27. Jesus got to land, and there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes. On the advent of summertime, let me tell you an analysis and conclusion from scripture. You read the book, nakedness was always associated with one of three things: drunkenness, delusion, being out of the head, lunatic, or demonic possession. Think about that. And we live in a society that parades nakedness openly in public. I think it needs to be noted that one of the things the demons did to this man is caused him to unclothe himself. It's a sensitive subject, and I mean no indiscretion, but if you halfway paid any attention to the news lately, you will find that this has become a common item in the news where somebody in public just unclothes themselves. Drunkenness, delusion, or demonic possession. You see, it's not a good thing. You know why? Because before people lost it, there was always, from the beginning in the fall of man, there was always a shame in nakedness. I'm talking about in public. Isn't that correct? You see, it means something to me. What it says to me, Brother O'Hare, that those demons got this man to live a shameful existence. He wore no clothes. I'm telling you, it'll happen every time. Satan will bring people and bring into their lives deeds and acts that are shameful. You know, we've always praised God. Now, that's before naked, but after clothed. We always praise God when it says at the end, Sister Brock, he was clothed. But I want you to think really what it's saying. It's saying Jesus took his shame away. Oh, hallelujah. We're not going to get up and talk about it. But before we met Christ, we did some shameful things. Shameful things. I talked to a lady not long ago. She said, I really want to serve the Lord, but I've done some things I'm so ashamed of. But I want to tell you, when you really let Jesus come into your life, the shame will leave. He'll clothe you, not in literal clothing alone. He'll clothe you in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And there's no shame there. Oh, hallelujah. How many's glad he took the shame away? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then, before Jesus came, it was restless roaming. Luke 8:29, it says in the last part of that verse, he was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Driven. Make no mistake, people are being driven today. That's the thing of not serving Christ. You serve this enemy, he'll keep you restless. Restless roaming in the wilderness. In Mark chapter 5, the same account, verse 5, he was always night and day. He was in the mountains and in the tombs, in the graveyards, crying, cutting. I mean, he is restless. Brother Kevin, after Jesus came, this man that was roaming, mountains, tombstones, roaming the wilderness, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He went from restless roaming to restful reclining. Hallelujah. Peace, peace, wonderful peace coming now. I'm telling you, you live in sin, you'll live a life of restless roaming. I've noticed this. I talked to a sibling one time that went away from the Lord. And as soon as you begin to talk about the things of God, you know what comes out of their mouth? I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. You try that. Someone needs the Lord. I got to go. I got to go. No appointment, anything. They just got to get out of there. Amen. They live their lives in restless roaming. It shows even in church. When people quit following the Lord, move away from him, they're restless, in and out. Can't sit still. Can't tarry in the altar. There's a restlessness there. But oh, when you really let Jesus come into your life, the restlessness is gone. Suddenly, you're restful. Hallelujah. How many's glad we can rest in Jesus? Do you see the difference in his life between before Jesus came? Hallelujah. And after he came. Let's go on with our photos. He was out, before Jesus came, he was out of his mind. Verse 5. Crying, cutting himself out of his mind. I was telling someone again, I'm not going to go into the story tonight, when I caught the man out there underneath the van cutting off the catalytic converter, I snuck up on him, got right on top of him and said, "What are you doing?" Boy, he crawled out of there. Somebody said, "Why didn't you grab him?" I'll tell you why. One look in his eyes, he was crazed out of his head on drugs. I want to tell you, folks are literally out of their minds. You know, one of the weakest excuses I hear with murders and the atrocities that are committed today, they will say, or their lawyer will say for them, they weren't in their right mind when they did this. No kidding. Good deduction, Sherlock. But they made decisions that brought them to that place. I want to tell you, the devil will literally take your mind. Have you read it in the news? I mentioned the unclothing and the killing, but cannibalism, things that are unimaginable. People today are out of their mind with drugs, out of their mind with drink, out of their mind with demons and delusions. They are simply out of their mind. That's why in Luke 8:35, after Jesus came, it said he was in his right mind. You know, I always marvel. You let somebody get saved, they get happy in church, do a little shouting, a little praising God, and folks will say, of the word will say, they must be out of their mind to act that way. No, they're not out of their mind. They just found their mind. They were out of their mind when they did those stupid, crazy, sinful, wicked, destructive things. It's out of the mind to pump something in your bloodstream. It's out of your mind to drink things that will kill cats and rats and everything else. It's out of your mind to do some of the stupid, crazy things of this world. I'm telling you, you'll find your mind when you come to Christ. Hallelujah. And when he comes to you, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I mean, you get the mind of Christ. Before Jesus came, his life was one of a long time misery. Look what it says in verse 27. A certain man which had devils a long time. I don't know how many years that is, but that's a long time. Where's the misery? That's a long time. Where's the misery? Listen to this. I'm about done, but listen to this carefully. Mark 5. It says he was in the tombs crying and cutting himself. Where's the misery? It's a long time. He's cutting himself. Listen to me, young people. Listen. Some preachers act like, and different folks act like, cutting is a new thing from the last little bit. It's not. Here it is in Scripture. And some of us that may not be aware, sometimes young people become so overcome with meaninglessness, so overcome with the sense of no purpose, so overcome with the sense of shame of things they have done, that in secret they'll cut parts of their body. Get a razor blade. Why do they do that? Because the pain inside is so great. They try to divert from that inside pain by inflicting pain on their body. Cutting is not new. It's in the Scripture. He was cutting himself. It's there again. It's always a life of darkness and sin. Destruction. I'm telling you, Jesus isn't about cutting. Jesus is about putting people back together again. He's about healing. How many can say Jesus healed you? He put together the broken pieces. Long time misery. Not only that, look how it turned out when the devils, we're not even going to get into that part of the story, but when the devils came out of the man, they entered into the pigs, and the whole herd of thousands of them ran violently down a steep place into a lake and were choked. This man had enough demons for a long time to drive thousands of pigs to suicide. Don't tell me that's not a man that lived in awful misery. But that's before Jesus came. Amen. Filled with long time misery. But when Jesus came, there was an immediate miracle and relief from that misery. Long time misery. But Jesus spoke the word. And at Jesus' word, the demons left. And immediately there's peace. Peace the man never knew. Peace. Somebody here tonight, you need peace. Long time misery. Suffered from things you've done and been done to you. Long time misery. And I don't minimize that. You can't minimize something that would drive that many pigs to suicide. That's awful. But I'm telling you, Jesus can work a miracle in your life. Two more photos or sets of photos. Before Jesus came, this man was all about maniacal screaming. Can you imagine the fear in children in those villages surrounding those mountains? I mean, how many still gets a little spooked when you hear the coyotes at night? There's a bunch of them across the street and back here. A lot of nights I can hear them there in the parsonage. A little eerie. Can you imagine hearing an eerie scream? And as a child knowing it's that crazy man out of his head roaming through the cemetery, roaming through the mountains, maniacal screaming. Here's the photo. Before Jesus came, garbage came out of his mouth. Cursing and vileness, stupidity, and horrible, painful screams. But after Jesus came, that mouth that had uttered things so eerie and so filthy, that mouth is testifying of the great things that Jesus did. He went from screaming in the tombs to witnessing about Jesus through the village. Oh, church, I'm talking about the power of God. Did you see that photo? Let me show that photo again. Look at it. He's screaming, maniacal screaming in tombs and mountains, frightening the children, cursing and vile. That's that picture. But Jesus came. Now look at it. He's standing on the street corner with a pile of tracts and an open Bible saying, I want to tell you about Jesus. Who can make such a change? Hallelujah. When Jesus comes, there's a change. Jesus told him, look in Luke 8:39. He said, return. This man wanted to go to Jesus. We'll mention that the last thing here in just a second. But Jesus said, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. The great things wasn't that Jesus made him rich. The great things wasn't that Jesus gave him self-esteem. The great things was Jesus completely and totally and radically change my life. Last of all, before Jesus came, or as Jesus came, this man wanted Jesus to go away. At least the demons in the man did. Verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? What are you doing here? Go away. I beseech thee, torment me not. I don't want to have anything to do with you. That's before or as Jesus came. But look, after Jesus touches this man, look at verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. I want to go with you, Jesus. Before he didn't want to have anything to do with you. Jesus, go away. Now that Jesus comes, he said, Jesus, let me go with you. It'll be that way. I've seen people, I don't want to have anything to do with church. I don't want to have anything to do with preaching and the Bible and the things and the people. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Don't tell me about it. I don't want to talk about it. But then Jesus comes in their life. And all of a sudden, they can't get enough church. All of a sudden, they can't get enough talking about him. All of a sudden, they can't get enough preaching. Jesus came. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I forgot to mention, you know, when he was sitting there, when folks really get saved, you'll find him after a church service or an altar service not wanting to go home. They just want to sit there in his presence. How many seen that? Oh, wasn't that a wonderful change Jesus made? How many believes he can make that kind of change tonight if somebody would let him come in their life? Hallelujah. Those that's going to help us in the baptism, would you come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for those that might be here and not have Christ in their life. I know it's a Southern gospel song, and some have an aversion to that, and I can't sing it, and I can't quote much of the words, but the implication of it, there's a little boy, the man's talking, and a little boy afraid to go home from school or whatever because his dad's a drunker. And the song, the dad says, you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid to come home, because that old man, that old drunker, he don't live here anymore. Dad, you go somewhere? No. Jesus changed my life. I'm no longer a drunker. I'll no longer hurt you. I'll no longer yell at you. I'll no longer do bad things to you, because Jesus came into my life. Let's bow our hearts. I thank you, Lord, for the change you've made in people's lives here. Multiple folks could stand and say, when Jesus came into my life, it was drastically, completely changed. But Lord, there are some here tonight you're speaking to. Lord, they're tired of the shame. They're tired of the misery. They're tired of the darkness. Lord, and tonight you've come to their heart. You've come to the shore of their life. Lord, I pray they'll invite you in, that you might set them free, deliver them, give them hope, take away the misery, give them life. Hallelujah. As everybody's got their head bowed and folks are praying, I wonder if there's anyone here tonight, just as an indication, you lift a hand and put it back down and say, I really need Jesus to come into my life. I really need Jesus to come into my life. God bless you, young man. God bless you, young man. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Just put your hand up back down. Hallelujah. Anyone else? I need Jesus. I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of this darkness. I want us to pray right now for these that raise your hand. Would you pray with me, church? If you raise your hand, I want you to invite the Lord to take possession of your life. You say, Jesus, you died for my sins. You shed your blood on the cross that I don't have to pay the penalty for all those things I've done. Forgive me, Jesus. Thank you for loving me enough that you would die in my place. And as you pray that, confess your sins. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, for my life of sin. I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. But Lord, I'm tired of the darkness. I'm tired of the misery. And I invite you, Lord, to come into my life. Take full and complete possession and control. I give myself to you. I say yes to your Spirit as you reach out to me. You feel Him reaching out to you, speaking, touching your heart. I need you, Lord. Would you pray, church? Lord, do your work. Spirit of the Lord, give new life right now. Come into these folks' life. Come into these folks' life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to have the baptism. And if you're here and you lifted your hand at the end of this baptism, I invite you, if you want to follow through, I invite you to come to this step we use as an altar. Let folks continue to pray with you. Baptismal candidates, if you'll get prepared as they begin to sing.
Surrender my life to Christ, and I'm moving and not going back. I'm moving ahead, here to declare to you, my past is over in you, all things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ, and I'm moving, moving forward. Risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, for saving me. He's brought me through a lot. He's given me a good Christian home, family, and I thank him for that.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, put your hand upon this young man. Lord, though others may go out of their youth and turn from you in sin and harden their hearts, Lord, may Wesley keep a soft heart. Lord, may he continue to follow on to serve you and not have to live with that awful damage done to his heart from a life of sin. But may he know the touch and the blessings of the Lord. Build a hedge about him and protect him from all evil things. And Lord, make him a part of your kingdom work. In Jesus' name, amen. Wesley, upon the confession of your sins and the profession of your faith in the Son of God, in the name of Jesus Christ and by his command and authority, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. here's a before and after testimony right here. We're so grateful for what the Lord has done in Bobby's life. It's not only going to make a difference in her life, but her boy's life too, her home. Just step up, testify.
Oh. Well, I'm happy that God never gives up and that He gives second chances, but I'm thankful for what all He's delivered me out of, drugs, just all kinds of darkness, and the last thing that went was the cigarettes, and He's still working on me. I know there's a lot more that He's cleansing me from, but I'm just thankful that He saved me and that there's power in the blood of Jesus.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
All right.
Amen.
I'm ready.
Can we pray? Hallelujah. Father, thank You for what You've begun. And I know, Lord, that what You have begun, You will continue until You come. Lord, not only in her life, her children, the home she lives in. God, the light is shining. And where the light shines, the darkness has to go. Thank You, Lord, for the power of the blood of Jesus. I worship You, Lord, for the difference You've made. Amen. Bobby, upon the confession of your sins and the profession of your faith in the Son of God, in the name of Jesus Christ and by His command and authority, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Bless you, Lord. Fill her with your spirit. Fill her with your spirit, Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. Plenteous in mercy. Ready to forgive. Amen. Lately, as David let the Spirit of the Lord move upon him, touch him, and responded. And that's the secret, is to respond when the Spirit of the Lord moves. Why don't you tell us what the Lord's done for you?
Since I've came here, I've never really had a Lord in my life growing up or anything. I strongly believe that, you know, God put Jennifer, my wife, in my life for a reason, you know, to bring me closer to the Lord. And all my life, I guess I could say I had a void, you know, empty feeling, and I really feel today that it's, you know, this is God's way of just, you know, trying to make me whole, and just, I'm just grateful just to be able to serve the Lord.
Amen. Just stand right here. Father, thank You for the work that You're doing. God, You're so interested, Lord, in moving in families, Lord, by moving in the hearts of mom and dad and children. Lord, I pray that the work You've begun, You'll continue it. Lord, the growing desire to serve You, to live for You, to walk with You, to follow You, Lord. God, I know that if we follow You, we'll make it, because You're the author and the finisher of our faith. For the joy set before You, endured the cross, despising the shame, so David could make it, and I could make it, and all could make it. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. David, upon the confession of your sins, and the profession of your faith in the Son of God, in the name of Jesus Christ and by His command and authority, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what a change. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jake hit G and leads in Amazing Grace while our next candidate's coming.
Amazing Grace. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved. A wretch like me.
privilege of being in the back at the children's ministry, either on Sundays or on Wednesday nights. And I knew the answer, but I asked somebody that does work back there, I said, now tell me, has there been a change in Dylan's life? And their face lifts, has there ever been a change? Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? I'm not trying to tell on you or anything, but yeah. It's great. It's the change I'm talking about. The Lord makes a difference. And Dylan, have you noticed how he seeks the Lord, reaches out to get a hold of God? Isn't that wonderful? It comes from the heart. Dylan, tell us what the Lord's done for you.
Well, I came here with Kenny one day, and I was sitting over there, and the choir started singing, and that's when I really felt the presence of the Lord yes. come into my life. And ever since then, it's felt like ever since I moved out from Eaton, there has been a great change. Yes. And my mom has been coming to church, and my brothers, and just the youth group that's been there for me, and Brian, I go to school with him, and he's there with me all the time. Just everybody, especially Ryan, he's been a great help, everybody, and I just want to thank the Lord for what he's done for my life.
Yes, amen, it's great. Would you stand right here? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, but I think as I stand here with Dylan praying over him of what your apostle John said, young men, you have overcome the wicked one. You have overcome the wicked one. Young men, you have overcome the wicked one. Lord, I pray that every turn in Dylan's life, this would be the case. He would overcome the wicked one who would come to destroy and kill. Because Dylan has found the one that gives life and gives it more abundantly. Oh, what a change you brought, Lord. Your power is real. Your presence is real. The washing of your blood is real. And Lord, not only keep Dylan, Lord. Lord, I know you're going to make something of his life that counts, that'll make a difference, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray for your protection and your keeping power. In the name of Christ, amen. Dylan, upon the confession of your sins, and the profession of your faith in the Son of God, in the name of Jesus Christ and by his command and authority, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. Remember the time the Lord made a change in your life. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Brad's fixing to come, but would you stand across the building? He's going to be leading in a hymn. And if you're here and you've not yet let Christ come in and take possession of your life, I want to invite you, as Brother Brad is leading this hymn, come to this step that we use as an altar. And I promise you, if you'll come immediately, there'll be folks here to pray with you. And I'm going to tell you something. You can leave here differently than what you came, in Jesus' name, by the power of his blood. Oh, there's something missing in your life. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. You're tired of the darkness. He's the light. Hallelujah. Your soul is so cold, dried up. He's the one that'll make it a living thing. Hallelujah. So, Brother Brad, as you begin to sing, if you want to answer that call, you say, I need Jesus in my life tonight, would you come to this altar?
Amen. If you would grab a hymnal tonight, let's turn to page 390. Let's sing, There's Power in the Blood.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Since saints are lost in its life-giving flow, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.